This episode of the Android Central Podcast is brought to you by Squarespace, the all-in-one platform that makes it fast and easy to create your own professional website, portfolio, and online store. For a free trial and get 10% off, visit squarespace.com/android and be sure to enter the offer code Android at checkout. A better web starts with your website. Hey there, everybody, and welcome to the Android Central Podcast. It is episode number 186 for Friday, May 23rd, 2014. Welcome to the show. I'm Phil Nickinson. I run this little thing we call androidcentral.com, and we changed the lineup a little bit this week. We still have Jerry Hildenbrand in West Virginia.
Howdy, folks.
And we brought Richard Devine back. He thought we would never do it again. I mean, it was a weird incident last time, and he apologized profusely, and we cleaned up the mess. But
yeah, I'm sorry. I'm not as handsome or interesting as either Andrew or Alex, so we'll see how it goes.
We should totally talk about those guys since they didn't want to hang out with us today. What do you think?
Oh, you two are too nice.
Come on.
It's better to talk about them when they're here.
That's true. No, Alex.
I see Alex on Tuesday, so you know what it's.
Yes, Alex is taking a much deserved night off since he's been reviewing so many devices. It's not even funny at this point. Andrew's off doing cool Memorial Day weekend stuff. So, well deserved break for both of them. Apparently, the three of us have no lives.
I heard Andrew was hunting Bigfoot.
Oh, that's true. He lives in the right spot for it. Well, if it's your first time joining us on the show, welcome. Glad to have you. We do this once a week. We do it live. And then we record it, so, you know, if you're not here live, you can listen to it later. It's a lot of fun. It's, a little, you know, pretty relaxed, I think. And we tend to talk about Android for like an hour or so.
Mostly.
Generally. Sometimes we'll come up with other cool stuff. What do you want to start with? I've got this huge list of stories, and, like, I don't know. I mean, the stuff that was really interesting to me this week, it kind of stirred up a little bit of a poop storm. Just a little bit. I want to start with that. I want to start with ads. I want to start with advertising. It came out this week that in the SEC, the Securities and Exchange Commission, had questions for Google about advertising and about the way it measures ads and ad rates and a few other things. And in its answers back to the SEC, Google says, hey, you know, look, it said a couple things. The first thing it said is, we have desktop numbers and there are mobile numbers, but here's the thing, it's kind of tough to tell what's what, right? Because technically we've all been counting tablets as mobile devices, but when we look at how people actually use them, they use them more like desktop computers, which makes sense because, you know, here's a tablet, right? I'm not pulling this out of my pocket every 30 seconds to check something. This is something, you know, you pick it up, you use it for a little while, and you put it back down. Whereas a phone, you're picking it up, you're putting it down. You're picking it up, you're putting it down. You're picking it up, you're putting it down. I'm going to see how long I keep doing that before you guys yell at me.
Like,
so that was one thing. But another one that Google said was, and I want to read this, you know, exactly what Google said. Where'd it go? We expect the definition of mobile to continue to evolve as more and more, quote, smart devices gain traction in the market. For example, a few years from now, we and other companies could be serving ads and other content on refrigerators, car dashboards, thermostats, glasses, and watches, to name just a few possibilities. Now, the little bubble that we live and work in being what it is, of course, all the headlines were Google could put ads on thermostats. And, of course, everyone took that to mean Nest. You're going to see ads on Nest, which anyone, I think, with half a brain could look at a Nest and be like, no, that's not happening. Never mind the fact that Google didn't say Nest. Never mind the fact that this was written before Google bought Nest. Google has since come back and said, no, we weren't talking about Nest. Nest has since come out and said, no, they're not putting ads on Nest. So everybody's kind of freaking out. But I think it's an interesting discussion to have because Google's absolutely right. We have more screens where we're going to be, you know, putting our eyeballs on, where we're going to be paying attention. So where do you guys stand on this? Are you just kind of anti-ads all over the place? Is this just a natural progression of the way things are? I mean, Jerry, let's start with you. You've got a ton of toys laying around. Would you hate it if suddenly an ad popped up on something?
You know what? I don't hate ads. I don't like intrusive ads, and I think everybody feels that way. But there are ways to advertise that is not intrusive, and I'm okay with that. I would I don't want to use the words ticked off, but I would be a little upset if Google were to put ads on a Nest after I paid for a Nest. I also think that anybody with, you know, half of a thought in their head would have known that nobody was talking about the Nest. But that's the thing. Ads as a way, you know, okay, we're going to charge you a little less, or we're going to give you this free, but you're going to need to have a look at ads, and we're going to keep a little bit of data about the ads you've seen. That's one thing, but it's completely another thing that you're going to pay full price for this and the software that runs on it, and we're going to shove ads in your face anyway. I think that that's going to be part of the future, and I'm not sure that we can put a blanket over that. You have to do it case by case.
So we're looking at the Amazon thing then, maybe, like the Kindle Fire, where you go into, you know, you go into buying a particular model where it says we're going to serve up advertising on your, you know, on your lock screen or wherever every so often, but it's this, you know, it's this much cheaper, or you can pay this much and we'll leave you alone, sort of thing.
Or even Fire TV, and Fire TV is a different UI. I haven't used the Xbox one, so I'm thinking back to when I used an Xbox, and honestly, I could halfway expect half the things I would see on the screen there to be ads. And Microsoft did, you know, the UI of that really, really well. Even the stuff that was promotional to other Microsoft services or games or whatever, you know, technically you could probably call some of that ads, but I thought they looked great. And if they're designed like that, then what do I care? I could see it. Yeah. In the follow-up post I did, I used like a Honeywell thermostat and slapped a banner ad on it. Potentially that could be one way of doing it. I don't think that would be the best way to do it, but that's the sort of thing I could envision, right? And we've seen devices like this before. You know, little tablet-esque things that would sit on your dresser in the morning, and you wake up and it says, "Good morning, here's what the weather is, here are the headlines, here's an ad as long as you're looking at me." Like, yeah, I could see that happening, and it's not the end of the world, right?
Well, it's also, you have to consider the device itself. Ads on a refrigerator or your thermostat is just somebody's money getting wasted. Do you stand and read your thermostat all day?
No, absolutely not.
You know, especially a Nest, you're going to put it in, set it up. For the first 2 weeks, you're going to be excited and fiddle with it. But then the whole idea is to leave it alone and never have to mess with it. What good does putting an ad there serve? Or your refrigerator, you know, you walk over and get some ice water from the thing on the door. It's going to show you an ad for somebody. Is it worth their time to be serving ads for, you know, when you're only going to see it a few seconds of a day?
Refrigerators could be interesting, right? Because, I mean, I think LG has some with displays now, and I'm sure some of the other ones do too. And some of the idea with the smart fridge is, like, you scan in the food that you're putting in there, and then it can kind of recognize when you're running out of something. And then I could see it say, hey, go buy this loaf of bread. You know, you need bread. While you're at the store, go try this one. And, like, I get that. That would be interesting. I don't know if it would put me off. I don't know.
Same with like a washing machine, you know, you're loading it up and it could say, oh, why don't you, you know, while you're at it, this local store has got this washing powder on, you know, buy one, get three free. Why not get this one next time you go out?
I don't know that it's the end of the world to see that happen. I completely agree. Renee has a good example. He bought, I forget the brand of TV. Because we should totally pick on him for this, and I just don't remember. In fact, I think he posted it as a comment in my post. Let me find it. He bought a Panasonic TV that has ads for their services, but he turned them off. If it's an option, okay, fine. I'm still not crazy about it, but at least give me the option to turn it off. I would not like it if I bought a TV. I paid for a TV, which is this. It's a display. It's like a monitor. It is a delivery device. It's not a service. It's not content. And then they start serving me ads on that. I would not like that at all. I would not buy that TV.
Well, I think it's also important for, you know, to do the ads correctly. Richard brought up the Kindle Fire. Man, you know what? I will say it. I like Amazon's ads. They save me money. They know what I buy from Amazon, and they know what to show me when it's on sale. It's just on the lock screen. It's not like it jumps up every time I try to do something on the Kindle. And I think that you know, I'm fine with it. I'm not going to spend money to get rid of them because those ads actually benefit me. When a company can serve you ads that you're interested in and you're going to act upon, they've won. You know, that's very important.
They use car dashboards as an example. And again, I think their answer to the SEC is it's written by lawyers. Keep it in that context. But imagine like driving down the road and at some point I'd like to think we get to like heads up displays, like proper heads up displays in our dashboards or on our windscreens or something, right? Like that would be cool. You know, hey, here's this store up ahead. Maybe you want to buy this. I don't know. That could be, I mean, if it's something like I need or want, that could be interesting.
That would never pass legislation here. That'd never be allowed in Britain.
Oh, yeah. That's the American way, man.
Use this coupon code and save 2 cents a gallon on gas. That would be cool.
It would be real. I'm curious to see what happens. Like, I get that we need to hate ads. I understand that idea. Speaking as somebody who writes about this stuff and separately and not separately at the same time, somebody who makes a living, you know, partially off advertising, I get the need for it. I get the hate against it. It's really interesting, and it's a really interesting, I think, part of consumerism. It'll be neat to see where it goes.
But you can't just say, I hate ads.
Right.
You have your favorite news blogs. Hopefully Android Central is one of them. And like Phil said, ads are part of our revenue. The alternative is the Wall Street Journal that gives you two sentences and makes you pay to read the rest. You're not going to do that. Nobody does that except the people that have to do that. Or
the people willing to do that.
Right. Okay. I misspoke. You can't just say ads suck, get rid of them, because the internet is full of businesses and businesses have to make money.
I was mainly disappointed. I thought we could have done a better job in our initial post on that. But I was just really disappointed to the completely predictable knee jerk reaction.
Yeah.
You know, it's Google not slamming the door on anything is all that was. So it's going to be an interesting thing. I for one am excited to see what happens. And you know, fewer ads. Look, I pay for apps, right? If there's an app that I can pay a dollar and get rid of ads, I'll gladly pay a dollar.
Yep.
Absolutely no problem doing that. I don't want to see the ads. I want to pay a dollar. I don't want to pay a dollar, but I'll do it to not see the ads. I'm fine with that. What else? And Bo, look at that. Here come the emails already. You're a Google apologist. That is such a lame. Oh, that kills. That is such a lazy response to any of this.
Google makes so much money out of advertising, and you know Google needs to get paid just like we need. You know, everybody else needs to get paid. If they don't get paid, they don't make all the cool stuff that we enjoy. So
exactly,
you got to weigh it up on both sides of the argument. It's money makes the world go round. Until it doesn't, we're all stuck with it, I think.
I'm just
go ahead,
curious Tim. how you saying Google said this, or Google's lawyers have said this. Nobody from Google's software engineering team said this. It was the lawyers.
Yeah.
Google's lawyers said this before they bought Nest. Then the people from Google stood up and said, no, we're never putting ads on a Nest. The people from Nest stood up and said, no, we're never putting ads on a Nest.
And it was all obvious in the first place.
But when you say this, you're a Google apologist.
I know. That is such a lame just attack. It's like, really? That's all you got? You can't, like, talk about both sides. Oh, whatever. What else? Probably the other big thing this week is the Google Plus update. And there's a lot of stuff going on there, right? I mean, for one, it looks not totally different, but it looks pretty different. Here, let me see if I can pull mine up.
And it's a shame that Andrew decided he didn't want to spend time with us today because he wrote something. You know, he wrote some words about it, and it was a good post.
Yeah, absolutely.
So now we got to talk about it.
So let's see. I will pull mine up here and show you if you somehow have not seen it. Gone is, hey, look, there's us. Gone is the drawer, which that's a pretty crazy design change, right? Because that's been for, what, a year now? Maybe a little bit more. But, I mean, Google has slowly, like, it took a little while to update the Google Play Store to properly have a drawer. And now we have this little floating right thing. I think today we saw some more pics of what will probably be an updated Gmail app, which will bring on the same sort of thing. And now you have all these drop downs and get your circles that way and get to your photos down here. And it's all pretty crazy. It's good stuff.
The one thing I don't like so much about the way they've got the drop downs is obviously phones are getting massive and, you know, massive. And so the slide out, I mean, particularly for me, I hold my phone in my left hand. So the slide out draw from the left was really good because I could actually kind of get to everything with one hand. Now I got to use both. So.
I'm trying to remember what the app was, because there was something that they had absolutely moved something up too high while a lot of stuff was going on down low. And I want to say it might have been Gmail.
Any of them at one point.
Well, yeah, right. So, I mean, it's a really interesting design change. The big red action bar up top, you know, that stands way the hell out. I think it looks nice. It looks different. I mean, my 5-minute reaction was like, oh, I don't know if I like this. It's different.
Where is everything?
Yeah.
Well, you know, I like it. I like the new style. It fits me a little bit better. But I don't like Google jumping in and changing. Just as developers were getting on board with the last mandate they issued of how everything should be, they jump in and they change it. And, you know, I'm not a Google apologist, and I'll say, Google, you suck. You don't treat your developers that way.
I had just emailed our developer about our app and said, look, you know, this account and settings thing down here, maybe we want to shrink it down and do it a little light face like Google's done in a, well, like they had done in Gmail. and maybe not Gmail, but in the Google Play app. Or no, I think they just added it to Gmail. Like, you know, we're trying to follow in Google's footsteps a little bit there. We don't have to do everything the same, but I thought those would be good for consistency's sake. And then they go and change it, right? I'm looking to see if it's on Gmail because I'm trying to remember. You know, then they go and change it. It's like, well, okay. Let's see. No, yeah, it's on Gmail. So settings is down at the bottom. I didn't, you know. Okay, fine.
We're involved in the process of publishing and working with a developer of an app, so we feel this pain. If you don't write apps, you don't necessarily feel it, and you think, oh, this looks great, everybody should switch. It's not that easy.
Right. Not, you know, and updates are tough. I think that big update we did last week, let me look right now, I think like 65% of people have updated to it now. That's a pretty big important update, actually, because it...
Yeah, everybody should update to that.
If you haven't updated our app in a while, go do it, because we updated to fix some widget data stuff that wasn't really our fault. let me look here. I think it's like 65% app version. 65.5% have updated to it. So, like, you know, you try not to update more than you have to, because not everybody's going to do it, and it's kind of annoying. So, I don't know. The other big thing is the stories, which Google had kind of done this before with the Auto Awesome movies, and it would stitch photos together and make moving pictures. It would make GIFs. But now it's gone way beyond that. It's making these they're stories, right? It puts video and pictures in this chronological timeline. And one of the first ones I saw was kind of funny. It was that Miami trip I did last year where all the editors got together for a few days. And then I ended up in London, I think, the next week. Maybe the week before, I forget which. I think it was in London the week after that. So, like, it lumped London into that, and it shows me. And it's cool because it puts a little map up, like, showing, hey, here's where you went. It shows me going to Atlanta and then Atlanta down to Miami. It's like, oh, hey, look, then you went to London. It's like, no, that's not the same trip. But Andrew's right.
If you haven't read my own account.
Yeah, if you haven't read Andrew's, you know, piece talking about all that, it's really good. And it looks beautiful. Jerry, have you checked yours out yet?
Yes, and I want to cut all that crap off.
Oh.
Dude, you know what? If I go to my photos right now from yesterday, my trip to Winchester, it's 13 pictures of beer bottle caps. I don't want to look at that. I don't even want somebody to waste processing power to make that. Stop. Let me turn it on and off. And I'll be happy.
Fine. I can't wait. I want to go on another trip. I'll be on the road in a couple weeks. I'll be on the road for like most of June, actually. I'm real curious to see how well it works. You know, and you can do it manually. You can add things to it and take it away. I want to do a good comparison with HTC stuff, because that's the big question, right? Is it better to do it on the device and know that you're taking, you know, pictures and video with the intention of them ending up in these sort of highlights or stories or whatever, or Google just going back after the fact and doing it for you? I don't know. We'll see.
I don't want you to think that I hate it. because I think it's really cool. I just want to be able to do it when I want it to do it.
Right.
I just don't want it automatically filling up my photos mess that I've already got with random junk I don't want there.
That's fair enough.
No, that's just me. I'm sorry.
And you know what? All that's not really bad considering Google Plus is dead.
Yeah.
It's not dead.
Ghost town.
It's not going anywhere. You want to do some Q&A?
Yes.
Pulling up a chair. Let's do some Q&A. Let's just start at the top, shall we? Mike Stanley wants to know, ever have days where you're tired of using Android?
Yes.
When was the last time you went fishing, Jerry?
Oh, I haven't went fishing much this year. It's probably been 2 months.
Well, when you did go fishing, what was the phone you used to take with you?
A BlackBerry, because if it fell in the pond or the creek, I didn't care. But I get tired of using Android now that it just works.
I would love to walk around with Windows Phone 8 more often, just to experience it. But the Google interaction is just not good. Like, I can do it with an iPhone, I can do it with iOS, and it works pretty well. But Windows Phone, I have no idea what's happening. I don't know if my emails are being archived or what.
Well, Android was funner for me to use back when it was Donut and everything was broken. And it was a constant hassle to make it do anything. Now I pick my phone up in the morning and everything just works like it's supposed to. And it gets a little boring. I will admit it.
Fair enough. Mike wants to know. He's asking Andrew, but Andrew's not here. Do you think the OnePlus is a better value than the Nexus 5? Can we answer that for Andrew, do you think? None of us has actually used it, but...
No, I think we better let Andrew and his Bigfoots answer.
Fine. Michael,
well, okay, Phil, is the OnePlus better than the Nexus 5?
Is it a better value? I'm going to say...
Yeah.
I'm going to say the Nexus is a better value. I don't know if I have...
Why is that?
Damn it. I was... Because... You know what you're getting? I don't know.
Well, I agree.
That's my gut feeling. Put it that way. That is my uneducated gut feeling.
What Andrew says now. Very simple answer that could be completely wrong, but I think the Nexus 5 is still the better bet because I know next year Google will be there to keep my software running. I hope Mr. Kondik and company will be there. I really do. I think they're great for Android.
I'm sure they will.
I'm sure they will too, but there is no guarantee. So that's the only reason I can think to differentiate between the two. Other than that, buy the one you like the best.
Yeah. And you know, we've said that before too, right? There's absolutely nothing wrong with buying a phone that you just think is cool. That's how I ended up here. I thought the Trio 750 was the neatest thing I'd ever seen. And I was right. And it's still a great phone. I need to go get it back. A friend of mine has it.
I hope one of those machines in your parking lot crashes through your wall.
In fact, is it time for a parking lot update? You want me? I'll run out there and look. Hang on. Ow!
Talk amongst yourselves, folks.
Well, the good news is it's still there. I think the rumbling has stopped for now. They're still compacting all the dirt they've been bringing in. So, like, right before we started the podcast, it was super loud. They're getting there. They haven't started
putting sure they down yet. Put a drain in the low spot this time, guys.
I know, right? Jerry and I were just talking. I think I'm going to order a drop cam and just leave it in the window and set it up on the server. I think.
Yes.
Is that the sort of thing kids are interested in now?
PhilsParkingLot.com.
No, right.
Do a nonstop hangout on air from your drop cam.
We could. If anyone has a better suggestion for a camera, let me know before I buy one. But Dropcam's the one I've used, and I know it's a big name. God, that was a long time ago that I did that. Wow, how about that? Ryan wants to know, is it too soon for the G3? Yes, the G3 will be here Tuesday. I mean, I don't have another answer, man. I mean, LG has said, hey, the G3 is coming Tuesday. So, yes.
It's not far off a year after the G2, so...
It's really not. I mean, it's what, a month or two early, but fine.
Yeah, but by the time, you have to imagine by the time that it gets into people's hands all across the world, it's going to be about it's going to be almost a full 12 months because, you know, we're going to have to get it to the States. It's got to come out in Korea, Europe. We don't know what model will go where and all that.
I'm still pissed that Richard has my good G2.
This one.
But now, you told me to send it to him. I was going to send it back to you when I bought
it. I gave it to him in Spain this year.
Oh, that's right. I sent it to you, and you gave it to me.
Phil brought it.
I'm out of it. I had nothing to do with it.
It has KitKat on it now as well, finally. Woohoo, we managed to get through that barrier.
How about that?
Well, I know last year that the timing for the release of the G2 sucked.
Yeah.
By the time it came out, anybody that wanted a new expensive phone already had a M7 or a GS4. So it's good to see LG adjust things a little bit to be more competitive.
Sachin wants to know, since the Android Central podcast is sponsored now, will we see ads in the Android Central app, but ads that are less intrusive? Honestly, I don't know. I can't promise that there will never be ads in the app. I'd like to think if we do it, it's something better than just the standard banner Google ad. I just don't know. I would like to think at some point we have something in there. Just because, you know, we need to make money, and that's a good way to do it. And I think our app's really good, and it's getting better. And by the way, as long as I'm, you know, dropping that doom and gloom, should we show them? I'm going to get in trouble for showing this, but it's just a few people watching.
What are they going to do, fire you?
I know, right? I'll just leave that up on the screen for 1 minute. Can you see that? Can you see that? I'll just leave that there. Nobody saw anything. Nobody tell. Nobody say a word.
And if you're listening to it on the audio only afterwards, you really won't have a clue what we're talking
That's
about.
That's true.
So.
That's true. So speaking of people sponsoring this fine little podcast that we do, this week we are brought to you by Squarespace. It's an all-in-one platform, Jerry. Did you know that?
I do now.
And you use it fast and easy to create a professional-looking website. In fact, it's the one I use, actually. That's not awkward at all. Thank you for sponsoring us. I use it. No, it works really well. It's easy. Basically, drag and drop. You create your own website. Pull little tools over this way. Again, if you're listening to this, you can't really see my hands moving parts around on the Squarespace website, but that's how it works. You can make a blog. You can make photo galleries. They have all these templates that you can use to make it look however you want, and I'm not a coder. Ask anyone who knows me. I can barely write English, let alone code. They make it simple. They make it easy. And for you guys listening to this, you know what else they did? They give you a free trial and 10% off if you go to squarespace.com and use the offer code Android at checkout. Jerry's doing it right now, I can tell.
Sweet.
Not even listening to me anymore. He's already made a website. Jerry already made an Android website. He's going to defect.
JerryCentralAndroid.com.
They got 24/7 support, by the way, if you break something. They free domain name if you sign up for a year, which, again, is something else I did because I don't want to mess with that later. And plans start as low as $8 a month, so it's actually really nicely affordable. I'm pretty happy with it. Go try out the free trial. If you don't like it, you don't have to use it. I think you will. It's pretty cool, so check it out. Squarespace.com and use the offer code Android at checkout. So, where you guys want to head next? Volte? Voice over LTE? It's coming.
Slowly. Yeah.
Sort to of. You guys, maybe.
Verizon reminded us this week that it's coming. Eventually. Slowly. T-Mobile is in Seattle on three phones. That'd be the, was it the Note 2, the G Flex, and... I'll be perfectly honest here, a third phone that I had never heard of.
Was that the Galaxy Lite or something?
It was the Samsung Galaxy Lite. Should I look it up and see what that is?
If anybody has any suggestions.
If anyone actually has one of those, shoot us a line and let us know how it is.
Maybe that's why it's one of the support three, because nobody actually has one, so it's really easy to support.
Now here we are. Being judgmental.
No, I'm not judging. I'm just saying.
I'll bet T-Mobile sold more Galaxy Lights than they did Note 3s by a huge margin. Because one of them is $29 and the other one is $229.
Yeah, so it's, how big is it? 4-inch display, 480 by 800. It's running Jelly Bean.
Hey, at least it runs Jelly Bean, right?
Yeah. I'm just saying, like, that's how many phones that are. You want to talk about how many phones that are out there? I was looking. The AC app supports like 4,200 phones. Or, you know, technically 4,200 or 44. I forget how many. It's a lot. There are a lot of Android devices out there. It's pretty insane if you stop and think about it. So anyway, Seattle's got T-Mobile. Well, how do you say, Volte, or do we just say voice over LTE?
I say voice over LTE, but fine. I'm weird, so.
And then what's up with this new Verizon enhanced XLTE? I mean, they're using the AWS spectrum to, you know, just make everything better. But should they have given it a new name like that?
No. They by all rights, they should have just been quiet and smiled and let customers see, whoa, I pay a little more and my service keeps getting better and better.
Exactly. I'm not crazy about the new branding.
Is it really necessary? I mean, our main LTE carrier here, EE, their rollout, I think they just call it double speed LTE. So it's whatever black magic they use to make it faster, but it's just there. You know, it depends what you sign up to a different contract when you join, but otherwise it's just 4G.
Well, see, that's what I'm afraid of, is that Verizon's going to make this a separate service and charge you extra. That's what I'm worried. You know, they made such a big fuss about it instead of just rolling it into their current network.
I just want to call it, give me what I'm paying for. I mean, don't give
it. And let them slap a giant logo on it as well.
Yeah. It doesn't need a logo. It doesn't need a new name. Just give me what I've been giving you money for. Make it better.
And not Verizon. We're not just picking on Verizon. Right. All the carriers do it.
This goes all the way back to, you know, the HSPA Plus days. And
yep,
it's 4G, you know, the 4G. It's 4G, but it's not really 4G. And Sprint has this Spark thing. So it's like, is it LTE or not, guys? I mean, just... they're making it difficult on us for the sake of, you know, beating their chests, and that's just annoying to me as a customer.
And that usually ends up costing us more, and that's the part I don't like.
Yeah.
If it looks good on a billboard, it usually costs more money than that. So.
Well, I'm just amazed that Apple isn't first with T-Mobile on this voice over LTE stuff. You know, Apple's working on it, and they probably are very close to having it done, just like any other company. And T-Mobile and Apple have been very buddy-buddy the past year or so. I would have liked to seen a, you know, all the platforms, a Windows phone, an Apple phone, and an Android phone, test this voice over LTE, even if it's just in one city.
You think Verizon will have it ready to go for the next iPhone launch?
I don't know. I don't know. See, with Verizon, you have so many radios in a phone anyway.
Yeah.
I don't know how that switching gets handled. I don't know. You know, they can't drop the voice radio that they have now because voice over LTE isn't nationwide and quite frankly never will be. You know, there are spots that are never going to see LTE even from Verizon. They can make promises, but you or I won't live to see it. And until that day, that you have to keep the regular voice radio in the phone for a fallback. So I don't know. I do know if anybody can pull it off, and you all are going to hate me for this, but Apple would be one of the first companies comes to my mind to be able to pull off, you know, voice over LTE and all the other radios on one chip.
Yeah. No, there's no reason to hate on anybody for that. If it works, it works. And yep, the sooner it works for everybody, the better, right?
Right.
Harman Kardon, HTC One M8. I finally wrote that up this week. It's an M8.
Beautiful.
It looks really nice. It's black. It's kind of black and gold. It's black and champagne. Looks really nice. I'm back and forth on the sound stuff. And I was the same with Beats when HTC and Beats were in bed together. I'm the same about it now that it's just boom sound. Does it sound better? I think in some things it sounds better. In some songs, it doesn't. I question how much normal people know what something is actually, quote, supposed to sound like. You know, what is this music actually supposed to sound like? What's the proper response? And I don't know. Is anyone actually going to buy it because it's Harman Kardon? Maybe.
How much extra is it on over the regular one?
It depends on how you pay for it. It's like a $40 difference when you're getting it on contract or if you're getting it off contract.
I'd pay $40 just for that beautiful lacquer finish look that's
it's
got on
the
there.
It's the same sort of brushed metal, like the gunmetal gray, only it's black.
Is it slippery like the gunmetal?
Yeah, it's the I know. Look, I still have a case on my M8. I'm not, you guys know me, I'm not a case person. I don't use cases. This is the only phone I've ever used a case with. I so badly want to use the DotView case, and I just can't. I can't get it to stay open. I can't type with it, and that's so frustrating.
But the slippery on the M8, that's the only thing I can really find wrong with it.
Right.
But it's enough to keep me from using it.
I mean, as long as we're talking about it, I've been on the Galaxy S5 for, 2 weeks now? And the camera's just night and day. Again, that's not to say I can't get good pictures with the M8, but just the way they shoot is so different, and the GS5 is a lot more forgiving, and I'm just not that good a photographer, and I don't set everything up. You know, I don't frame the shot properly every time, and sometimes I just want to snap something, and the GS5 is better at that.
Well, that's the thing with a smartphone camera. A lot of the time, you just want to pull your phone out, grab a quick picture, and put it away again. And I mean, I've been using the GS5 pretty much solidly since it came out, and it's the same thing. I haven't really used the M8 besides the launch event, but the GS5 camera, half of the time, you know, when it's daylight, I haven't found anything that is that good. And it's fast. It takes really good pictures. Okay, it's kind of bad when it gets low light, but you know, I don't take that many pictures at night anyway, so.
This is a good segue, GS5, and we were talking about the networks. I had a Sprint one here for 2 weeks. Phil, yep. You remember that. Mark sent me one.
Yep.
You know, we covered everything with the GS5. This was for me to check out, make sure I'm up to date on how the GS5 works. Great phone. I like it much better than the GS4. But what really impressed me is while Sprint's talking about network vision on one hand and the other hand's talking about Spark, in the background, just their plain old network. They have been working at it. Sprint is now very usable out in the country where I live. The improvement is, I think I did a little bit of math, 700% better than the last time I used Sprint.
Wow.
So I think we need to reevaluate how much heck and grief we give them just because it may not work in Pensacola and it didn't used to work in Bunker Hill. Because if it's getting better where I live, it's getting better everywhere, because you don't funnel money where I live until you've done everything else. So if you looked at Sprint and weren't satisfied, give them another look.
It's definitely gotten better here. It's not great at my office. You know, I think back to it got to the point where we had to tell phone manufacturers, don't send us yep. Sprint units, because it was real tough to properly test things.
Yep.
You know, used to end up with one in New York, and New York was tough. I'm glad to see they're getting better.
Yep.
Absolutely glad they're getting better. So,
I just wanted to throw that out there because I think it's great. I want them all to be good everywhere, of course.
Anything to this Chrome update this week that excited you guys? I mean, it now does full screen video, and I'm trying to remember, like, because I use beta most of the time, I think. I'm trying
yep.
to remember what's been in beta and what's not.
I like the fact that they're trying to bundle everything into one app for the Note 3 and the S5, where you can have the split windows. The more they can do to get rid of these necessary helper applications for specific phones, the better. I don't know that they've got everything fixed. You know, I think you can now open two Chrome windows at a time on your Note 3, and you could never do that before. Hmm. So, to me, that was the exciting part. They're cleaning up the code, and they're merging things together, and hopefully we'll have one app that just works everywhere soon enough. The other, the UI features, yeah, they're cool. But nothing I really was looking forward to. And like you said, on the beta, that stuff was in there anyway.
Yeah. What else? What else? What else? What else? Uncomfortable silence. I just want to go back and look at that thing that
that Apple and Motorola
that I didn't show everybody. Let's do some more Q&A. I like Q&A.
Okay.
Ryan asks, how much do you think the G-Watch and Moto 360 should cost? So I know there was that back and forth this week about the Moto 360. Some contests said, you know, for its purposes, they were considering the value $249. You know, Motorola just came back and said, look, that's a lawyer's thing. Yep. It won't cost that. I'm betting at least $300.
I think it should cost whatever the cost of materials and labor to build it, plus enough profit for the company to make a few dollars. That's what it should cost. This is not Google, who will sell it with zero profit to get you to have one. This is right. Motorola or LG, and they need to make money.
I mean, it's still very much a Google joint. It's yes. I think it's going to be one of those almost Nexus-like endeavors.
Do you?
I kind of do, at least at first.
I think it's going to be a for-profit thing, and I wouldn't...
Not in price, but in like control.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
That's what I think.
You've got to hope that, well, you've got to imagine, sorry, that the G-Watch is going to be at least a decent chunk cheaper than the 360. I mean, just on the look of it alone, the 360 looks like a...
Oh! Hater. You're going to hate.
Wow!
No, but the 360 looks like a watch. The G-Watch doesn't look so much like a watch. It looks like a smartwatch. It kind of look, you know, it reminds me of the Sony smartwatch every time I see it, so... But personally speaking, I would probably pay more for the 360 willingly because it looks more like a watch and not like just a piece of technology I've slapped on my wrist. Because, you know, I've got a nice watch. I like wearing it, but when I'm not wearing it, you know, when I'm wearing it and I'm not wearing my Pebble, it's, you know, tapping it, trying to make it change tracks and things, and it doesn't work, does it? So something in the middle, 360 might be that one.
I'm giving you a hard time, but I completely agree.
yeah, so do I. I mean...
It's got to look nice when you go out to dinner to a nice restaurant. I mean,
I have a feeling,
you know, I love my Pebble, but...
Yeah, I think the LG watch is going to surprise us a little bit. Just because we haven't seen that much. I think it'll be nicer than we think. You know, never mind the shape of it. But no, I agree. The round looks pretty sweet. Here's my question. If it were to really be $249, or even if it's $300, and let's just leave that at the limit, will that affect the price of this thing?
It better.
Apple Steel, which...
It better drive that down to $99 if they want to keep selling them. I'm sorry.
Kind of what I'm thinking. I still love the hell out of the Pebble. I love the idea of it. I love kind of the hackability of it. I love what they've done with development, with you know, the software for it. They still have a way to go, but look at where they came from.
And I like the fact that it's cross-platform. You know, I have to go between an iPhone and an Android phone because of the work I do here. And you know what? The Pebble works great with an iPhone. It probably works better in my experience with an iPhone than an Android phone. But I've got that flexibility. It doesn't matter which one I pick up in the morning. I can live with it. That's probably not going to be something I'm going to be able to do with an Android Wear watch. So,
I wouldn't say that just yet.
I wouldn't. Yeah.
I think Google's smart enough to make sure that everything about that watch is going to work with the iPhone.
Then I would be very happy.
Just look at everything they've done over the past year or so, yep, just with Google Apps on iOS. Completely.
The battery in my... I think it's the battery. My Pebble's gone. It's here, but it won't charge anymore. And I really want to try to wait until the end of next month before I buy another one. I want to see, you know, if somebody stands up and says, well, you'll be able to buy this phone or this watch, whether it be LG or Motorola, and, you know, on the 1st of July, I'm going to buy it instead of the Pebble. If nobody gives me a time, I'm just going to have to buy another Pebble. I need my Moto X to have a Bluetooth friend.
You want me to send you my Pebble, my original Pebble? It's right here.
If you want to. If not, I'll just buy it. I mean, heck, they're like, what, $120 now?
The originals are real cheap, yeah.
Yeah.
Which is good. And I had to go back to this when I had to RMA my first Steel. I went back to this for a few days, and I missed the Steel. I missed the feel of it. I missed the size difference. It's still a really nice smartwatch. I'm really, really happy with it. I'm glad I spent my own money on it.
I think the Pebble was by far the best of the original crop of smartwatches because... Maybe it didn't do a lot of the things the other watches were trying to do, but everything it did up until the latest update, it did really well.
Yep. Thomas asks, any news on the Google Voice and VoIP integration into mobile Hangouts. Nope, but it should be any time now, right?
You would hope so.
Yeah, I mean, they got to do something. So, I'm not going to let Jerry say he thinks Google Voice is dead. Not this week.
I think Google Voice, as we know it, is dead.
No.
I'm sorry.
We'll see. As long as we can have it as well, I don't care what they do.
Install the Google Voice app from the Play Store and tell me 10 minutes later that you don't agree that you think that this thing's been abandoned.
Yeah, it was kind of abandoned a while back. Dave asks, how's Phil doing on Ingress? I don't have a whole lot of time to play it. Sorry to the Pensacola guys listening. I can see them. I can still see them on comms. I know they're out there. I know they're outside my building all the time.
We should build a bot.
That does what?
I don't know. That plays Ingress for you somehow.
Oh, God, we got... Don't get me started on Ingress bots. Pablo asks, what do you guys think of the possible UI update on the LG G3? I think LG has updated the UI every year. And they're going to do it again.
Good answer.
There's going to be parts of it I like, and there's going to be parts of it I don't.
I'm writing that down in case I have to review it. That's the best answer ever.
That's the conclusion.
I'm nothing if not good at hedging. Which of the Android Central guys will be at the big Android barbecue? I don't know. We got to work on that. I think I am unavailable that weekend, actually.
I don't think it will be me. I can say that probably.
You want to go to Austin? You'd like Austin. Or not Austin.
I probably would, but I think it's a little bit too close to a major life event.
Oh,
so.
That's right.
Might have to stay at home for a little bit.
Be that way. Moto X Plus One rumors are all over the place, says Matt. Should we pay attention to any of them?
Or all of them. Motorola's going to make a new phone, too. That's what they do.
I can't wait for like a new, like a better sort of MX. I'm excited for that.
Dude, you know, if they make an X Plus One or whatever the hell they're going to call it, you know how excited I'm going to be?
I know exactly how excited you're going to be.
Yes.
I'm excited to see how excited you're going to be.
That's Jerry Dance.
I spent my own money, and Phil, you know I hate to spend money. I spent my own money on a Moto X. I love that phone.
Motorola updated the contextual services on the phone and this rolled out this modality update thing. Mm-hmm. One of the things it does is help recognize when you're in the car. Like, it'll listen and actually hear, hey, it sounds like you're in a car, so I'm going to treat you like you're in a car. I'll be curious to see if that works and it no longer triggers car mode when I'm taxiing on an airplane. I mean, that's one of those edge cases, but it was just always kind of funny because it'd be like, hey, it looks like you're driving. We're not going to make any noise or show you anything. Blah, blah. And it was like, nah, but fine. I get it. That'd be cool.
First world problem. Spend too much time on a plane, Phil, you know?
Yeah. Well, I mean, the point was Puneet Soni from Motorola. Where'd it go? What did he say? He said, these are some very critical pushes happening as we speak. They are very important launches. More importantly, they are the foundation of some very amazing features that are launching soon.
I think a lot of this is tied into the new Google Play Services location APIs. And, you know, I'm sure Motorola still works with the people at Google, as does HTC and Samsung, to be ready for this stuff as soon as it hits. And we got those, what, I think it's 4.4 now, Google Play Services, last week. And now this week we get Motorola software that helps better determine what your location is and how you're moving, which is basically what a lot of the Google Play Services update was about.
Yeah. I'm excited. It's going to be some stuff this year. One more. Kurt just popped into the Q&A and posted up an EV Leaks picture of this is awesome. It's the Verizon G3 that has.
I think we've got a post being written up as well.
It just went live. I could tell from my super secret thing, which we won't talk about. but yeah, it's got Verizon logos on the front and back.
But you know what? Ignoring the Verizon logos, I really like the fact that it's got that black front and the white back, because all the other leaked renders we've seen have got like a, you know, they've got like that colored band at the bottom that matches the color on the phone on the back, which on the gold one is kind of like, woo. I would, I would like that one to be like a proper one we could get over here. Probably won't be. Verizon probably, you know, pay for that or something. But
man,
it'd be good.
I've been thinking about that a lot this week, and I know I've talked about it a lot lately because I'm using a Verizon GS5, and there's just so much. I know that there's Samsung crap on there, but there's so much carrier crap on there as well. And it's just, I'm going to buy, if not your, you know, I just want normal, not carrier, junked up phones. I'm going to make a point of trying to buy that stuff.
Just most every new phone comes that way now.
I know. It kills me.
And I feel bad for Verizon customers and Sprint customers who don't get as much of a chance to buy these phones. But if you're listening and you're on a GSM network here in North America, you can buy phones without all that extra crap in it. You just have to spend more up front.
Yep. Well, and you have to pay attention to the banding and stuff. And
yes. Make sure
you don't get something weird. That's
well, you know, it, when you buy your unlocked phone, ask the person you're buying it from.
Right.
Everybody is pretty up to speed, and they'll be able to help you. Or ask us.
Yeah, that's why we're here. You would think at some point the carriers would learn, but I mean, I guess we just keep paying them too much money.
You remember buying computers in the 90s, right?
Yep. Well, ooh. Actually, no, because I'd learned to make my own computers.
Yeah. But you buy a computer and you spend 6 hours taking all Norton Symantec clippy things off of it.
Yes.
But that's the thing. You know, obviously, they don't want you to take it off. They want you to, if they put it on there, they want you to use it. But I mean, the GS5 that I bought is a carrier branded but unlocked phone, and they've got their own apps on there, but I can take everything. Well, I think I have taken every single one of them off.
Yeah.
Cause I'm not even using it on that carrier. I'm using it with a different SIM cause they're selling unlocked phones nowadays, and that's good. You know, it wasn't many apps, but I can take them off. They've gone, never see them again. It's basically, apart from the splash screen when it starts up, it's just regular old unlocked GS5. Everyone's happy.
The flip side of that is I bought my AT&T branded but unlocked G2 from Amazon and got an update I finally accepted a couple weeks ago that all it did was put the Yellow Pages app on my phone, and
they did a blog post on that. They did like, hey, we're pushing you this update that has these new apps, and I just wanted to punch my screen.
Yep.
It's like, you don't learn. Stop it. They never learn.
Yeah, I don't think they realize that because it's mobile and there's so much protected software on it, mm-hmm. you can't be the administrator in software and just take stuff off like you can on a computer.
Right.
It's if you don't lock the phone down, Qualcomm's not going to let you put their modem in it, period. So it's got to be secured a little bit, and it's not just wide open. And, oh, it just ticked me off. I don't think I've turned on the G2 since. I was so mad at it.
Well, if the carriers aren't learning, you know who can, Jerry?
I think we can learn.
You can learn. How's that for a segue? I warned these guys in our little off-camera chat. I was like, watch this segue. I'm about to drop on you guys. Lynda.com, which is, I love the service. Jerry actually turned me onto this the site. Oh, I don't remember how long ago, and it really, really cool. So, real-world example for Lynda.com and using it. I just started using Final Cut Pro to do all our video here. And you can search, you know, you can search for anything and find Final Cut Pro stuff. But what you get with Lynda.com is it's really good professional teaching and instruction on just how to do things. Jerry, what did you use it before?
I used it when I first bought a DSLR to get up to speed on exactly how exposure and aperture and all that stuff work together. And you find videos and articles written by professionals who know what they're talking about, and it's vetted. It's not just Joe on YouTube makes a video and it actually does more harm than good. If you go to Lynda.com, you're getting information that's correct and up to date. And that was important to me.
And it's really well done. It's not just, you know, somebody aiming a camera at their computer. It's proper screen sharing. It's proper, you know, visuals, and makes it so much easier to learn stuff. I had to look up how to do just picture in picture, simple stuff in Final Cut Pro, but I didn't know how to do it. And I didn't want to spend, you know, 20 minutes sorting through videos trying to find one that was actually good went to lynda.com, and it's just right there. And those are just two examples. Some of the other ones here, you can learn to build Android apps. People ask us about that all the time. How do I get started in Android development? I honestly have no idea. I don't do it. I guess I could go to lynda.com and learn as well. But, you know, an excellent place to do that. 2,400 courses taught by experts. $25 a month for the whole catalog, for everything. I mean, it's ridiculously low.
Yeah, as much as you want to use for $25 a month. I have sat here on the weekends and spent 12 hours on Saturday and 12 hours on Sunday looking at stuff on lynda.com.
I think we can do one better. You want to try something?
Yes.
So we got to deal with them. Get you special access to the entire library free for 7 days. How about that?
Boom.
So here's what you do. Go to lynda.com/AndroidCentral to start your 7-day free trial. LYNDA, boys and girls, by the way, not LINDA. I hope that's a reputable site, but LYNDA. LYNDA.com/AndroidCentral, 7 days free, $25 after that for everything. It's pretty awesome. So check it out. A few more stories, and then maybe we'll call it a day. This one's kind of important, too. Apple and Motorola have settled their patent fight.
Good.
Good, good.
That's all there is to say about it. Like, thank you. A little bit of sanity.
Now Microsoft and Apple and Samsung and HTC and everybody else, grow up, do the same thing, and then everybody on the internet that has a keyboard and likes to write about it, stop writing about smartphone patents. They're no different than refrigerator and washing machine patents. Let's just let these companies do what they do, and we'll focus on other funner, more important things.
What was interesting is there's no cross-licensing going on with this. So it's not.
I didn't expect there to be any.
Oh, really?
I mean, it's the stuff Motorola is worried about was they have to license on a per case basis because it's, you know, it's essential, and Apple doesn't want you to use their stuff. Come on, that's a no brainer. Apple wants to keep theirs closely guarded and makes sense.
Fair enough. I'm just happy to see it getting, you know, the talk getting back to the devices and the services and the apps and the important stuff. I mean, the legal stuff is interesting in its own right, but there's a reason I didn't become a lawyer, and there's a reason we don't run a patent blog. Can we get back to the important stuff, please? Please?
Yep. Don't tell me you're fighting about patents. Apple, show me the cool stuff you're doing with these patents you hold. Motorola, show me the cool stuff you're doing with these patents you hold. And I won't worry about whose lawyer signed what paper. I'll just like the cool stuff.
I don't like the rest of these stories I put on the list. I don't want to talk about them.
Now I feel bad for the stories. No, AT&T and Cricket. Because that happened to me. I got up, I think it was Sunday morning, and I'm laying in bed. My wife goes out, and she makes sure the coffee machine stuff going, and we'd lay in there, and we don't do much Sunday mornings. And I had my tablet out, and I'm looking at Android Central, and I see that AT&T and Cricket have gotten together, done their thing. And then about an hour later, I got this weird message on my phone telling me that there was a network error and I had to restart. So I restarted it, and I was using AIO. That's the prepaid carrier I'm using for now. Right. And it came back as Cricket, just like Derek said it would. And I thought that was pretty slick. They announced it and did it all in the same day, and it was a Sunday.
It's so bizarre to me that they do updates on Sunday. Interesting.
But it's going to save me a couple bucks. So Yeah, you say interesting. You don't have to tease me like that. I know.
It is interesting. If you have one of the phones, it is absolutely interesting. It's a good story, and I'm glad Jerry told it. I'm going to get emails now. You know what we didn't talk about? It's a stupid secret app.
Oh, see? Interesting, Phil. Interesting.
Interesting. Yeah, I mean, it's finally on Android. Yay. If you haven't tried it yet, it's been on iOS for a while. And
I hated it on the iPhone.
You anonymously tell people your deep, dark secrets or whatever you want. And if anyone was paying attention, this is where some rumor about Apple, what was it they had been rumored to put in the earbuds for the next version?
Heart rate sensors or something.
Yeah, it was just something really stupid.
I thought it was one of those little bugs from Star Trek 2.
I don't get it. I can't tell. Like, I have absolutely no idea who I'm following. It asks for your email and your, maybe it was Twitter, I forget. It asks for, you know, and your phone number. I wasn't totally comfortable with that. And I don't really know what it did with it. I need to uninstall it. I haven't really used it. People are just I don't get it. Anyway, it's also got the worst notifications known to man because it just tells you so-and-so shared a secret. So-and-so shared a secret.
But surely by the kind of...
Not even so-and-so, it's just a someone. Because
it's anonymous. Surely by the nature of the app, it's not going to tell you secret in the notification tray. So why is it even there? It's just not necessary.
It's, yeah.
I have a secret.
You have many secrets.
But I have a good one.
Those are for the After Hours podcast.
I was afraid they were going to spam me with my phone number, so I used Phil's.
Ah! This explains everything.
But Jerry didn't send that to Phil through secret.
Well, maybe someone shared a secret. I know you didn't read all 750,000
I just not my thing at all.
I just think it's one of these kind of flavor of the week things. We'll be talking about something else in a week or two.
Even a flavor of the week, they need to look at how other apps work and fix that so it's one notification that's updated with a count.
Yeah.
Please do that for us, secret people.
If nothing else, just do that.
Yes.
Do a little more Q&A and we'll get out of here.
Works for me.
Sounds good.
Ryan's back. Moto G 4G LTE or the Galaxy S4 Mini?
The first one.
Yeah.
Ooh.
I know somebody who actually had a Galaxy S4 Mini, and he kept asking me every single week, like, what could he sell it for and buy with the that kind of money.
Oh dear.
He picked it up kind of thinking that it was foolishly thinking it was gonna be like the Galaxy S4, but it's just obviously not, and he hated it every minute. Whereas the Moto G, I mean, I used the original one for long enough, and that was a fantastic phone. Add some 4G in there. Absolutely nothing wrong with that at all.
Cool. And we've been talking a lot. I've got the Moto E here. I would spend the extra money and go for the Moto G over the E if you can. If you can't, absolutely great price for the E. You know, for what's not a bad, low-end smartphone, right?
You were playing playing
Monument Valley on it.
Monument Valley on the E, and that's a fairly processor intensive game, and you said it played just fine.
Yeah.
That to me speaks volumes.
There you go. And volumes about Unity. John Freeman asks, who's excited for the LG G3? I feel the G2 didn't get its proper due. I completely agree with you.
I'm excited.
Read my review of the AT&T one. I thought that the G2 was the best flagship, I hate to use that word, of last year.
Remember, I started using it in the middle of Berlin last year, and when were we there? September?
Richard? September.
Yeah. Up in the middle of the conference, switched to it, loved it, thought it was great.
It's they have a lot of stuff I may or may not use, but it all works, and that I thought was amazing.
Ryan says the Nexus 5 is a better value over the OnePlus One because you can actually buy one without going through the hoops. That's a very good point.
Yep.
Very good point.
You can even go to a store and give somebody money in cash or credit card form and walk out of there with one in a box.
You can walk in with a goat, leave with a phone.
It comes in red. Yeah. Phil, I'll trade you a black Nexus 5 for a red one.
Dan wants to know, any chance smartwatches will replace smartphones? There's a rumor coming out again today, I forget who broke it. A couple people did, actually, I think, that Samsung's working on a standalone one, kind of like the Omate, where it's just, there's a radio in it, so it can get data on its own. It's not tethered to anything. I would say maybe if the battery issue gets solved. Smartphone batteries are just...
Yeah. So I just couldn't see anything you can strap to your wrist having a good enough battery to last in a situation where you're going to need it. You know, when what do we use our smartphones for? So much stuff.
Challenge accepted.
But we struggle to get through, you know, you struggle to get through the day on like the Galaxy S5 if you, you know, if you're really hammering it with intensive stuff. And that's got a pretty big battery in it. So I don't know. I get why people would be really interested in something like that, but I would always prefer to keep it as an accessory.
I agree.
I don't want to be talking like Star Trek all the time, you know.
Harbinger asks, "Hey Phil, is your Nest sending subliminal messages telling you to buy Coca-Cola or any other products?" Harv of the UK. No, it's not. Ooh. Although, if you're listening live right now, I'm going to do this real quick while we're talking, because I haven't posted any yet. If you go to our Google Plus page right now, you might just see some subliminal Nest messages coming at you.
Oh, come on, Google Plus.
Boom, right there. Right there. If you're listening later, go find it. Use the hashtag Nespiration. Figure out how to spell it on your own. But no advertising. It's not happening. Just stop it.
I wish there was an API for subliminal messages in your Nest. I would learn. I would wake you up in the middle of the night with a need to send to people.
Oh, man. Anything else you guys see? Should we call it a week? Should we call it a day? No? No? Going once?
I'm doing a quick scan.
Going twice?
Gotta take a look.
Ryan wants to know, Jerry, if the Moto X didn't ship with trusted Bluetooth, would you care more or less about your Pebble?
That's not a fair question.
Why?
Because I still think the Pebble was a great device, and I'm a little soured by the Android update to 2.0, so I would rather not answer that right now.
Fair enough.
Let them work on it a little bit more. If they can never fix it, then I'll have an answer for you.
All right, boys and girls, I think that's going to do it then. Do you think that's going to do it then? Does it do it for you, Jerry?
It does it for me.
Well, if you want to, you can email us at podcast@androidcentral.com. I know we didn't get to any this week, but feel free to hit us on that if you can't meet up live. Though if you're here live, the Q&A is a great way to ask questions. You can get us all on Twitter, search us, we're there. I just use my name. You can get us all on Google Plus as well. Just search our names. That's super easy. Hey, speaking of Twitter, let me check real quick.
I have to get more involved in Twitter.
499,657 followers. I was hoping we would have broken we would have broken 500,000, half million right here on the show, but not quite. Not quite.
Everybody go make a fake name and follow us.
And we are also brought to you by shopandroid.com. That would be the website. You can call them at 888-468-6158 if you prefer to do things that way. All sorts of accessories. Plenty of Galaxy S5 stuff coming in. Plenty of M8 stuff still in there as well. Hit them up. Jerry, Richard, thank you guys. Everybody listening at home, thank you. If you're listening for the first time, subscribe to the show. Go to androidcentral.com/RSS. We've got links there or just in the show post. Absolutely subscribe to the show. Makes us feel so good.
I subscribe.
Should. You know, I'm not actually sure I do. I should subscribe to our own show, which I produce myself. Whatever. All right. Well, we will be back next week. Plenty of stuff coming. The LG G3 is coming up next week for sure.
Yep. Tuesday, we'll be Alex and I will be in London having good old look at that thing, so looking forward to that for sure.
So Richard gets to fondle all over a G3 before any of you.
Yeah. Yes.
Oh my god, I can't make it to the US events. I'm so mad.
Looking forward to it. It's it should be a good one.
Just promise us lots of pictures and tell us what you think, because I know you love the G2.
Certainly do. I'm excited. I'm excited for it. Like, genuinely, not just from a work perspective. It's something I would like to see just for myself. So, good. Should be a good one.
Everybody listening live, good to see you. Everybody listening recorded, hi. How's it going? That's it. See you next week.
Adios.
Bye bye.
That episode of the Android Central podcast you just listened to, it was brought to you by Squarespace, the all-in-one platform that makes it fast and easy to create your own professional website, portfolio, and online store. For a free trial and to get 10% off, visit squarespace.com/android and enter offer code Android at checkout. A better web starts with your website.